Hello, Western Wisconsin. Let's see what we're up to. Good morning, and to our Friday evening gang, good evening. This is Spectrum West, where the arts, music, and culture of Wisconsin's West Coast is talked about and listened to. Peoples, plays, publication, peoples, that's right. Performances and presentations. Well, peoples, I guess. Yeah, we'll coin that. I'm Al Ross, and in addition to participating in the WPR Brink of Spring Pledge Drive, we're going to talk with Chris Tursky today about the art of restoring pianos. Jim Oliver shares an absorbing discussion with Sean Dooley of UW River Falls on the premise one finds in their current play. It's called Vinegar Tom. We stop by the studio of Ivar Lundy Jr. to find out what's in store for the audience of Saturday evening's Eau Claire Chamber Orchestra concert. And in just a few minutes, we'll meet the new executive director of the Chippewa Valley Symphony Orchestra. His name is Tony Zammit. You know, Spectrum West is all about the arts, the music, and the culture of West Wisconsin, and we appreciate the fact that you are here and, as always, there for us at Wisconsin Public Radio.
This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. I'm Dean Kallenbach with Rick Ryer. You know, you're always going to hear something worthwhile when you tune in to Spectrum West, and today we're asking you to put a value on this program you enjoy every week. Support Spectrum West, support Al, and everything else you hear on WPR by making a gift in any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And giving takes just a few minutes of your time. Tell us your name, contact information, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay. Become a monthly sustainer, or make it a one-time gift and charge the whole amount on your credit card. No matter how you choose to give or how much, use the next few minutes to support the station you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
For 20 years now, Spectrum West has been dedicated to showcasing the culture of Central Wisconsin. Along with your host, Al Ross, you get to explore the music, the art, the theater, the literature that inspires this community.
You listen to Spectrum West for this kind of access to what's going on right here in Western Wisconsin. Your desire to connect with the local scene is really the inspiration for the show, and it's your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 that makes it all possible. So give now, as generously as you can.
Maybe you appreciate WPR for the good it brings to the whole community. For you, WPR is personally important, but you might also feel it's important that everyone in this region and throughout the state has access to high-quality information and entertainment.
So become a member with your contribution of, say, $5 a month, and you're not only going to do something good for yourself, you're doing something good for the whole community. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Those of us who live here and even people outside of Wisconsin often talk about the high quality of life in this state. We have great state parks. We have a respected university system, wonderful libraries. Wisconsin Public Radio is a part of that high quality of life here in Wisconsin.
On WPR, you enjoy lively discussions, in-depth news, great music, and entertainment. Help pay for the variety you enjoy on Wisconsin Public Radio with your donation. Give now at WPR.org. or 888-202-2552.
I'm Bill from Wausau, Wisconsin, and I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too. I think it's important because things are said and done on the radio that are important, that need to be said, that we don't get on any other radio station. I listen to it all the time. It's on the car, it's on the radio in the morning when we get up, and it's on all day practically, and it's just the way we live. I know that the money is going to be well used. It's a valuable service, and I just feel good about it.
Pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Dean Kallenbach with Rick Ryer, asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio during this winter membership drive. Maybe your gift is $10 or $20 a month. Whatever you choose to give is the right amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR exists because people contribute. When we all give, our contributions add up to make this program possible. Your contribution really does make a difference.
So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Simple as that. One pledge at a time, you make this station possible.
We ask that you make a contribution. We also ask that you give an amount that's comfortable for you. Some give $5 a month. Some give $100 or more a month.
Whatever the amount, we'll use it to support the programs you enjoy, keeping your source for information and entertainment going strong. So give now, whatever amount is comfortable to you, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And when you pledge, you'll be adding your voice to the 50,000 members who support Wisconsin Public Radio. Your contribution of any amount is pooled with other members' contributions to make up the single largest piece of our budget.
And we use that money to bring you great programs every day. Make your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your support makes the difference right here at WPR. It makes all these great programs possible. Be part of making it happen. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Ask for a WPR t-shirt with your pledge of $120 or more. That's $10 a month. Pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're not already a sustainer, become one right now. Set up an ongoing monthly donation from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. A sustaining membership is convenient for you and provides reliable funding for WPR.
We're back now to Spectrum West, but a reminder first that your pledge now is very important at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thank you for your support of WPR.
Thank you, guys, and I need to add my thanks as well, because if you guys out there didn't do what you do for WPR, I would miss the opportunity to hang out with not only you, but all the interesting people with whom we speak each week. So thanks very much. This is Spectrum West, and the face of the Chippewa Valley Symphony Orchestra continues to change and evolve, as all living things eventually and rightfully do. Here's one way the times, they are a-changin'. Tony Zammit is with us, and he is the brand new executive director of the Chippewa Valley Symphony Orchestra. First of all, welcome.
It's a pleasure to be here. I'm very excited.
Tell me about the process of becoming executive director of the Chippewa Valley Symphony Orchestra. What did you have to do?
Well, it's going in front of the board and kind of presenting where you'd like to take the organization and kind of a vision for it. And I think that we're very fortunate in this area. The symphony for the last 30 years has provided such an amazing cultural experience. But at the same time, I think we're kind of at a crossroads where we can be doing even more and taking this into new fields that it hasn't seen in the past.
Well, you had to share that vision with the board. Share it with us.
Moving forward, we're going to focus a little bit more on the internet and trying to make the artists, the individual artists in the symphony, a little bit more accessible to the community so that people get to know the artists a little bit more. For programs like our Adopt an Artist program or sponsoring chairs, showing people actually the face of the symphony, the individual face of the symphony, and who they're helping support and who they're working with in a way that we just haven't in the past.
Introducing it to new audiences has always been something that that we've talked about. That's something that you're looking forward to, I guess. Huh?
Oh, for sure. I think a lot of folks in the area, unfortunately, I don't think realize what a gem we have here. We have an opportunity to show people a form of culture that you don't see every day in this city. And Eau Claire, over the last 30 years, there's no doubt that we've made incredible strides to becoming a regional cultural mecca. I think that we can be doing even more and taking it to the next level. You look at what we have here in terms of infrastructure with the hospitals and the university. I think that we need to build upon that, and that's what we plan on doing over the next few years.
Okay, so what would you say to someone who is listening to Spectrum West at this moment who has never been to a Chippewa Valley Symphony Orchestra concert? Why should they attend? Are they going to find out that it is one of our best-kept secrets and that they should have been going for years?
I think they're going to find that, and I think they're going to find out that there's a level of talent in this town that I think people just don't realize. And it really is going back to our mission statement. They're going to hear amazing music by people they know.
What do you most look forward to in this new position? What aspect of being an executive director really tickles you the most?
I think it's the evangelization about the symphony. I'm looking forward to getting out in the community and working with the leaders of this community and people on the streets to just make this an amazing experience for everyone in this town, something that we can all be very, very proud of.
How about a musical background? Do you have that or do you need that?
I actually do not have a musical background.
Okay.
I love music and I love the arts. But unfortunately, I'm a middle school band dropout myself.
Oh, you are?
So,
what did you drop out from playing?
I was possibly the world's worst saxophone player.
Really?
It sounded kind of like an elephant falling down the stairs when I would warm that up. Most parents say practice more. Mm-hmm. My parents said practice less.
Ah, yeah. And when you announced that you had dropped out, they applauded?
It was a small party may or may not have been thrown.
You just need to love music. I mean, how many people come to a symphony concert and do not play anything? They just, it's why they're there. Yep. They want to see other people play.
No, and I think that that's the important thing is that, and you've supported the symphony, and I think there's a lot of people in this town that have been very passionate about the symphony that don't have that musical background. And for them, we're very grateful. And I just hope to be a part of this and help move it forward.
How about geographically speaking? Are you new to the town? Or
I actually live in Chippewa Falls.
You do.
And have lived here in Eau Claire on and off for about 10 years now. So,
oh, yeah. So you'll know your way around, at least. I'm going to guess that Gordon Murphy's been very good at helping you with transitioning and things because he's that kind of guy.
I wouldn't know what to do without Gordon, and the entire symphony board and staff has been fantastic in helping me feel welcome here and helping move us forward in this transition.
And we should publicly congratulate Gordon on his tenure as executive director because some wonderful things were done.
Very much so. He has laid a foundation that I am indebted to him for. Wouldn't know what I would be doing without it.
Tony Zammit, new executive director of the Chippewa Valley Symphony Orchestra. Again, welcome, and I'm sure we'll be talking again.
Thanks so much, Al.
Support for WPR comes from the Chippewa Valley Symphony. The Young Artist Winner and the Chippewa Valley Youth Symphony join the orchestra in a concert titled Russian Music, March 8th at the State Theater. Details at 832-6366 or at cvsymphony.org.
Spectrum West, Al Ross here. Glad you're there. Tuesday, UW Eau Claire's Artist Series welcomes back Eau Claire's own Jeffrey Keezer, jazz pianist, and one of today's premier jazz vocalists, Denise Donatelli. Together in concert at Zorn Arena, that's Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. That's cool. Maybe someday he'll be able to open the Confluence Performing Arts Center rather than play in a gymnasium. That'd be neat. UW River Falls Rad Jazz Series presents the UWRF Jazz Ensemble in concert Saturday, March 8th, 7:30 p.m. in Abbott Concert Hall. Well, it's Chapter 4 of the Eau Claire Chamber Orchestra concert season. Saturday evening, the theme is American Gems, and music director Ivar Lundy Jr. welcomed me to his studio for a conversation.
Well, that four gems, they're all different. We started with five love songs by Alec Wilder. And Charles Tibbetts is the soloist, and it's quite exciting. These are, as a friend said one time, this is kind of white man's jazz. It's early part of or middle part of the 20th century. Wilder used to write for Frank Sinatra, as a matter of fact, and Mitch Miller as well.
Yeah.
So he's kind of a crossover type person, you know, with a foot in. And classical and the other foot in the jazz area.
Mm-hmm.
And then following that is Libby Larson's Song Concerto for alto saxophone and soprano saxophone, as a matter of fact, and chamber orchestra. It's a longer piece. It's a quite ambitious piece. And Jeff Reitz, who works for Schmidt Music,
mm-hmm.
is going to be the soloist, and he is doing a great job. Quite a piece for the saxophone. I mean, you are up in the low and the high registers all the time.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
And that, again, it's kind of a crossover piece tied into some jazz rhythms and whatnot and some lyric places as well.
Hmm.
And then after intermission, we have Elegy for a Small Orchestra by Alvin Ettler. That is probably the most modern-sounding piece of all of them. As I said, yeah, these are pieces from the 20th century, all of them,
mm-hmm.
but they are so, so different. Of course, we end with Copland's Appalachian Spring.
That's a well-known piece.
That is probably, well, that's the only known piece of these pieces.
Is it?
Yes. The Wilder pieces were just recorded in this studio about a year and a half ago and released with Charles Tibbetts and Penelope Cicchini. That's a piano and horn version.
Mm-hmm.
The original is for horn and small orchestra.
Are there strains within Appalachian Spring that people will say, oh, I know that?
Yes, yes. Simple Gifts.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, that's how we end. Yeah, and it's the interesting thing about Appalachian Spring is it got its name very late, actually. It's after it was written. It was called Ballet for Martha. Originally.
You also have a pre-concert talk. Tell me about that.
Gretchen Peters will talk about the program,
okay,
and the 20th century, probably. Okay. I'm not entirely sure what she might focus on. As a matter of fact, if the audience has, or the people there, have questions, she will be very happy to answer those questions.
And this is at First Lutheran Church?
Yes.
You have a busy month. You have kind of a collaborative show coming up at the end of the month, don't you?
Yes, and the reason why these two dates are so close is because two groups trying to find a spot that they can do together, you know, that's pretty difficult. The master singers have various things that they have to do in Chicago and various other places, and actually doing the same piece. And they are doing the same piece on their concert. But a chamber version of what we are doing. We're doing the full orchestra version.
So how does that work when you have two conductors up there with two groups? Are you like the Wisconsin marching band and you're both looking at each other, or how does that work?
No, we are not going to do that kind of a show, no. No,
oh.
We're not. No, not coming down from the ceiling or anything like that. No, we are actually, Gary Schwarzhoff is conducting the first half,
Requiem,
and I'm conducting the second half. And we're not fighting on stage.
You aren't?
No, no. He has a small baton, and I have a small
baton.
That's
too bad. That might have been a good draw.
Well, actually, it would be. No, I think that the draw is there
due to
the very fact that we have two fairly good ensembles.
I agree. There you go. Eau Claire Chamber Orchestra concert, Saturday evening, 7:30, First Lutheran Church. It's called American Gems. Sometimes it's a cliche to say we couldn't do it without you, but not this time, and not at Wisconsin Public Radio.
I'm Dean Kallenbach with Rick Ryer, and this is the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. We're here today to raise the money that pays for the programs you enjoy. Programs like Spectrum West, and that's how WPR works. The people who use it help pay for it. So go now to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to support the programs you count on.
Giving to WPR is easy. We just need your name, your contact information, the amount of your pledge, and how you'd like to pay for it.
Save time and money. Use a credit card if you can. Make a one-time gift, or better yet, start automatic sustaining donations directly from your bank account. You choose how to give, and then you do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Spectrum West host Al Ross has his finger on the pulse of the cultural scene right here in western Wisconsin. His unique interviewing style means you never know what you'll hear, but you know it will be entertaining.
WPR is committed to showcasing the best that our region has to offer, and you're an important part of that commitment. We're in partnership with you as a listener and also as a contributor. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And when you do, you're a vital part of making this show happen every week.
Pledging to WPR is quick and easy. And when you become a sustainer, you really simplify the donation. You'll make automatic monthly gifts from your bank account or credit card.
And the great part is that support renews then automatically each year, so your membership is always current. Pick an amount that works for you, say $10 a month, and become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you tune into Wisconsin Public Radio every day, on your way to and from work and over the lunch hour, and then some more on the weekends.
Obviously, listening to WPR is an important part of your life. Your day would probably be different, worse, if you couldn't catch your favorite program. Your contribution keeps WPR the strong station that you count on month after month, year after year. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I find Wisconsin Public Radio to have such a great variety of information and music. It doesn't insult my intelligence. It's wonderful to listen to. I love the fact that there aren't commercials every 10 seconds. I love the fact that the volume isn't blaring in my face and making me crazy. It provides me with all the kind of nourishment that I need in order to go through my day. I'm Chris from Eau Claire, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for balanced issues and stories.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during this winter membership drive. I'm Dean Kallenbach with Rick Ryer, asking for your support of WPR. Your gift of $10 or $15 a month, whatever amount you choose, is the right amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You can listen to WPR every day for years, and you'll never get a bill. We don't count how many minutes you listen. we don't even put a meter on your radio.
Yep, we use the honor system instead, so we count on you to voluntarily make a pledge to pay for the listening you do.
And remember, you decide how much WPR is worth to you. Whether it's a dollar or two a week or a dollar a day, you decide. Then go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you've never given before, but you look forward to listening to WPR every day, well, that's a sign the time has come. It's time to donate, and that means WPR is important to you.
And you're important to us because we're listener-supported radio. We count on financial support from people like you, people who rely on WPR to bring them something special every day. Your gift of $5 a month or whatever amount feels right to you makes you a member of WPR and really makes a difference. At WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You love WPR the same reason I love WPR, because it's your source for intelligent radio. There are bills associated with high-quality radio, and that's where you come in. Your support is so important.
And making a pledge is quick and easy. You'll be finished in no time at all. Your contribution in any amount, save $5 or $10 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, makes WPR possible.
You make the programs you rely on possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you can get the new WPR t-shirt with your pledge of $120 or more. That's $10 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We really appreciate our sustainers, those members who provide reliable monthly support. If you're already a sustainer, thanks so much. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 a month or whatever amount you choose. You can do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your pledge now makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Thank you, guys. And thank you guys out there for supporting us, WPR, and Spectrum West. A bit of Ring of Kerry in the background. They're appearing Saturday evening at Ladysmith High School. That's a presentation of the Flambeau Valley Arts Association. They have a wonderful series this year. Ring of Kerry, just one of them. Don't miss it. Congratulations to Aurelien Petiot, recently named conductor of the Red Cedar Symphony Orchestra. Their next concerts are in April, featuring young concerto competition winners. Petiot's also speaking Saturday at the meeting of the Chippewa Valley Music Teachers Association. We'll be talking with Aurelien in coming weeks here on Spectrum West. Arts West is open at the L.E. Phillips Memorial Public Library in Eau Claire. 64 pieces from 49 artists are on display through April 4th. Gets you in the mood for St. Patty's Day, doesn't it? Ring of Kerry, Saturday evening, Ladysmith High School. Well, this week's Oliver occurrence focuses on River Falls, the university there, and a play they'd like you to see. Here's Jim Oliver.
The UW River Falls University Theater will present Vinegar Tom tonight through Saturday and next Thursday through Saturday in the Sizey Theater in the Kleinpell Fine Arts Building at the university. Joining us to talk about the show is professor of theater and director of the show, Sean Dooley. Welcome to Spectrum West.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, Vinegar Tom is a 1976 feminist play by British playwright Carol Churchill. So how did you happen to select a British play inspired by 1960s and 70s feminism?
That's a good question. You know, as an educational facility, we try over the course of 3 or 4 years of a student's tenure here to expose them to lots of different styles of theater, different playwrights, plays from different time periods. the students had asked in particular about female playwrights. They were interested in working on a female playwright, and a number of names came up, and this was the one that ultimately fit our needs, not only from presenting the views of a female playwright, but also in terms of cast, 7 women and 3 men. We were looking for something to showcase the women in the department. And this particular production also has songs as a part of the production, and it allows some of our students to show off their singing skills as well.
Talk about the connection made with the 1700s witchcraft trials and modern feminist issues.
Carol Churchill, as she was approached to do a show about witchcraft, was reading a number of different things, different material. One of the things that she was reading and was very influenced by was a book called Witches, Midwives, and Nurses, The History of Medicine and Women's Role in the History of Medicine. And she was struck by how women were accused of witchcraft for very petty, mundane kinds of activities, things that involved, you know, what we think of today as natural herbal medicine. The women actually did have knowledge of some of these roots and herbs and how to use them and how they helped people get better. And the men in that particular time period didn't understand that application and were afraid of it, and so called it witchcraft. So she was interested in creating a play about witches in which no witches exist, which is what she did with Vinegar Tom. The connection to contemporary times, and I would go beyond the 1970s, but even into our current day and age and into this country, has to do with how women's rights are controlled and manipulated by a culture dominated by men. I think many people think of the 70s as a time of great growth in women's rights, in feminism, but the idea that that has somehow solved all of the problems obviously falls short. You know, she's not the only one. Obviously, the most obvious parallel is Arthur Miller and the Crucible, using witch trials to sort of talk about the what was going on in this country in the 50s. It's a very useful metaphor anytime you're trying to take a look at one group of people that are acting out of fear against another group of people.
In my research for talking to you about this, there are other feminine issues as well as the witchcraft thing.
Well, ultimately, it isn't about witchcraft. I mean, and that's the thing that she was interested in sort of putting forward, that it's really about poverty and oppression and how witchcraft is simply a tool. The stigma of witchcraft was simply a tool to put down people whose ideas you didn't agree with, whose actions you didn't agree with. So I find that fascinating. I think, again, in terms of how people are kept down, there are unfortunately many ways to do that, and poverty is a huge one. It touches on, not in an overdone way, but it does sort of touch on the fact that the women who are all being oppressed are middle-aged, poor women who don't have power.
Just for the sake of discussion, you said it was in an overdone way. Isn't that what theater generally does, though, is just to kind of beat an issue to death so that people will at least have some emotional impact from it?
Well, it can. I hope it doesn't. I do know that some of the cast have actually expressed some concern about the play and what their friends and family members will think, feeling like the play is quite one-sided. One of the things that I enjoy about the play is that it has a point of view. You know, it's lovely to work on a play that has something to say. Now, certainly how that is presented can be done in a way that allows the audience member to make some conclusions for their own, and other productions maybe spell it all out for you, and so you feel somewhat put upon. This show and Carol Churchill is pretty strong in terms of how it approaches the issues. She's very much influenced by the German author and director, Bertolt Brecht, who believed that the audience needed to be constantly reminded they were sitting in a theater and not get caught up in realism. So the play is peppered with songs, and the songs take place outside of the sort of time continuum of the story of the play. And so the actors who sing the songs actually step forward in contemporary dress. And the subject matter, stuff that they're singing about, does connect with the play, but it doesn't further plot. They're not doing it as a character. It's to comment on what you are seeing. And the commentary is fairly raw. It's fairly aggressive. The show is aimed at adults for adults, and certainly the songs are some of the more adult moments in the show.
He is Sean Dooley, who is director of the UW River Falls University Theater production of Vinegar Tom. Well, who is Vinegar Tom?
Vinegar Tom is, it was believed that witches had animals that did their bidding. And Vinegar Tom is a tomcat, thought to be the familiar of a witch.
Uh-huh. So he's a fairly insignificant part of the play, or is it a significant part?
Well, it's a good question, because then why is it called Vinegar Tom? He never appears, per se. There is a character who is brought in to rid the town of its witches, and he claims to see one running away. There is a farming couple who call out their neighbor for being a witch, and they claim the neighbor's cat had run into their dairy. There had been a rat in their dairy that they believe was sent to their dairy by their neighbor. So it's referenced a number of times, but Vinegar Tom doesn't himself make an appearance.
I want to take you back to the music a little bit. I read a couple of different reviews of other productions of the show, and one reviewer said that it followed the Brecht style by using non-realistic use of songs. Another one said that the songs made perfect sense until towards the end, then they made no sense at all. So what? So if you, in the first place, if you worry about what reviewers say, I guess so be it. But talk a little bit more about the music.
Well, I think they comment on the play, and I do think they comment on the play. But one of the things that I've encouraged our actors to do is to, again, have an opinion about what it is they're singing. They're singing about things that are quite desperate and discouraging and difficult. And I want them to sort of reach out to the audience and say to the audience, take a listen to what we're singing about and think about this particular subject and how it affects you and what you think about a culture that does this kind of thing. When the women step forward to sing the songs in their contemporary clothes, we're actually bringing the house lights up so that all the audience can see themselves. And we're also using spotlights. We're using some theatrical conventions to say this is very much theater. This is very much not in keeping with any sort of realistic story. So that when the actress steps forward and sings lyrics like, "Nobody ever saw me," she whispered in a rage, "They were blinded by my beauty. Now they're blinded by my age." Hmm. Oh, nobody sings about it, but it happens all the time. We have just watched a scene where a mother and daughter are discussing the fact that no one wants the old abandoned widow. And they sort of joke back and forth about it. And then an actor steps forward and talks about essentially this cult of beauty. And that when we look at a young woman's beauty, we don't see her. We don't actually deal with her as a human being, as a person. We deal with the beauty. And then when the beauty's gone, we see what's left and we judge that. And we don't actually get to know who that person is as a person. We just deal with the exterior. We treat women as objects. And so that's just one example. The songs I find really moving and difficult, frankly, to listen to. And it's done in such a way, as I just read, that's quite poetic and yet fairly straightforward and simple. It's just a piano playing behind all the music. There's no orchestra. We're not really concerning ourselves with sounding beautiful because Brecht believed that sort of detracted from the message. So you sing it and you sing the notes you're supposed to sing, but it's really about the intention, saying to an audience, listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm talking about. You just saw a scene about this particular idea. Now I'm going to put it in a way that maybe might get you thinking about it today in a contemporary sort of way. That's the conversations we've been having as a cast, which have been lovely, very interesting, with a cast that's mostly young women. Conversations about this cult of beauty and being treated as an object and what that feels like and what it means and how they relate to a world that looks at them that way. And then hopefully we'll get to have that conversation with an audience.
Sean Dooley, director of the UW River Falls University Theater production of Vinegar Tom. The show plays tonight through Saturday and next Thursday through Saturday in the Sizey Theater in the Kleinpel Fine Arts Building. For more information or to order tickets by phone, you can call the box office at 715-425-3114. Sean Dooley, thanks so much for coming back to talk to us.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Mr. Jim Oliver. We appreciate it as always. Coming up, we'll have our chat with Chris Tursky. He is a piano restorer extraordinaire. Wisconsin Public Radio is dependent upon the generosity of those who depend on us for information and entertainment every day. Rather than advertise with bells and whistles and dogs and ponies, we, as we always do, just enjoy a conversation with you. Once more, here on Spectrum West.
I'm Dean Kallenbach with Rick Ryer. This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. Listeners like you are such an important source of WPR's income. Your gift takes just a few minutes of your time, and it helps keep programs like Spectrum West going strong. So invest in your future by donating now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do with just a few minutes of your time. Just give us your name, your contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay. Whether you call or pledge online, we keep your personal information safe and we don't share it with any other organization.
Your gift supports the stories and programs that keep you connected to Western Wisconsin, to the state, and to the world. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
For 20 years now, Spectrum West has been covering the dynamic art scene right here in Western Wisconsin. We're thrilled to provide the cultural beat you rely on.
We're proud that WPR is a vital part of our community here in Western Wisconsin with shows like Spectrum West. And we're proud that listener support is the biggest single piece of the budget that makes this show possible. Join in the community effort of making Spectrum West possible with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And when you listen to WPR on your way to and from work every day, and an hour or two every weekend, you're listening to more than 700 hours a year.
If you've never given to WPR before, make today the day you make that first-time gift of $5 a month. For hundreds of hours of listening, that makes WPR one of the best information and entertainment bargains you'll find anywhere. Your gift, no matter what you choose, what amount, really does make a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And one listener made their donation and said, "We could live without WPR, but we sure wouldn't want to." Maybe you feel the same way, that listening to WPR makes your life better.
Whether it's keeping up with international news, enjoying classical music, the laughs you get from the weekend shows, or the fascinating discussions on the Ideas Network, there's always something good to listen to because WPR makes your life better. Help fund it. Help keep it going. Your pledge of support right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is very important.
I like Wisconsin Public Radio because the programming is excellent. I feel like being a listener and a contributor that it helps me be a little more in control of what's over the airwaves. Wisconsin Public Radio is important because all of us as a community are contributing and helping to make sure that we get balanced coverage on news and also a very positive listening environment. I find humor and I love the political discussion that covers both sides of the issues, and I think that's really important. I'm Amy Kocha from Green Bay, and I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio.
Make your donation in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Dean Kallenbach with Rick Ryer, and we're asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. Whether your pledge is $5 a month or $100 a month, we do appreciate and count on your gift.
Listeners provide the single biggest piece of our budget here at WPR. Make a pledge of $5 or $10 a month or any amount that's comfortable for you, and you'll be doing your part to keep the station strong. Just go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio works on the honor system. You don't have to pay for it, but the whole thing works because you do choose to support it. How about a pledge right now of $10 a month?
You decide the amount, and then go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift supports the programs just like Spectrum West that you hear every day right here on WPR.
What does making a pledge mean? Well, a pledge is a promise, and we pledge to bring you great shows every day. You pledge to support them with a contribution in any amount.
And when you help pay the cost of this station, we'll make sure there's something interesting for you to listen to. That's our pledge. Now make yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your support makes the difference here at WPR. It makes all these great programs possible. Be part of making it happen. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And ask for the WPR t-shirt with your pledge of $120 or more. That's $10 a month. Pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're not already a sustainer, become one right now. Set up ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or from your credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. A sustaining membership, it's convenient for you, and it provides reliable funding for WPR.
Your pledge now is very important at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio.
And thank you, guys. This is the music of a fresh Israeli world music ensemble called Balladino. They're performing as part of Arts Midwest World Fest, Saturday evening at 7 in the Barron Area Community Center. Balladino performing Saturday evening at 7 in the Barron Area Community Center. Tickets available at Rice Lake and Barron High Schools, the Community Center, Peter and Annie's World Market in Cumberland, the Shell Lake School Business Office, and UW Barron County. Also by phone at 715-736-PLAY. That's P-L-A-Y, 736-PLAY. Well, you know, last week we talked with Namji Kim, the player of the 1891 Steinway B piano restored for a concert at UW Barron County. Today, more about the restoration from a guy who's been doing that for pianos and their owners for quite some time. Chris Tursky runs Northwest Piano Works. The mailing address is Colfax, Wisconsin. We began our conversation by talking humidity. That's important stuff. Without much effort or equipment, he keeps his workshop humidity right around 42%. Let's continue about the true art of erasing years from the appearance and voice of old pianos.
You know, in all my experience of rebuilding pianos, I really have an affinity to those older pianos. The reason is you're not only restoring the instrument to its full glory and sound potential, you know, you're restoring a piece of Americana or a piece of history that can't be replicated. I mean, once those pianos or somebody decides to discard them, they're gone forever. And I always like to search back in the history when I work on these old ones to see what was going on, like, at that time period, and to think, like, you know, that particular piano, mm-hmm. the 1891. I mean, Carnegie Hall opened that year. Edison patented the first motion picture camera. The first gasoline power car debuted. And a guy by the name of James Naismith invented a game called basketball.
Uh-huh.
I mean, to think, you know, the history that that piano has seen, you know, it's pretty neat.
Now I'm picturing peach crates on the wall.
Yeah, there you go.
Now that you mention that. I love that. I love that story about basketball. You know, and as a craftsman and an artiste, I love saying artiste more than artist, you must really appreciate the work it took to build a piano in 1891. They didn't have the tools we have today.
That's exactly what I was going to remark on. When I'm tearing down an old piano like that to begin the restoration process, I'm always amazed to see the craftsmanship and the joinery, the wood joinery, and think these guys did this without any power tools. It's amazing. And this is why I feel the rebuilding process is a great way to go, because you can combine both worlds. You can keep, for lack of a better term, the good bones of the old instruments and then put in all the new high-tech parts. And that combination, boy, you can build an instrument that's just phenomenal. A piano at Barron, that's quite a piano.
You know, in the older guitars, they always say they have a much richer tone and things. Same case for pianos?
Yeah, pretty much so. The only problem with a piano usually is over time you have soundboard deterioration.
Yeah.
Even if you take good care of the instrument, when these pianos start pushing, you know, 60, 70, 80 plus years, soundboards just start to lose their crown. And really the only way to really rejuvenate that piano back to its full potential is to start with a new soundboard. And so that's where you start and you work your way out from the inside.
Describe the soundboard to us.
The soundboard is what everybody looks down into the piano would be underneath what everybody calls the metal harp, which I call the plate. And underneath the strings is that entire piece of wood. And just like guitar or violin construction, it has an arch built into it with ribs. Hmm. And then the piano strings put a force down onto that board. Well, that soundboard essentially is the amplifier of the piano. And if you don't have a good soundboard, it really doesn't matter what else you do to the piano. You're not going to get much out of it.
On the phone with us, Chris Tursky, registered piano technician, Northwest Piano Works is his company. How long have you been doing this?
Well, it's been 32 years full-time now. I mean, I've always just had a great love and respect of music. I just can't think of any time in my life where music wasn't an influential aspect for me. I was always a pretty much proficient woodworker and finisher, which afforded me the skills to be able to do operations like pin block installation, bridge work, case repairs, re-veneering techniques, soundboard installation. And then later down the road, I took a job in a metal fabricating shop and honed my metalworking skills. But probably most importantly, I learned to be able to fabricate and remanufacture these antiquated parts that are no longer available for mm-hmm. these old pianos. Thirdly, I was introduced to a European piano tuner technician who was a Holocaust survivor living here in the U.S., and he mentored me in the old European tradition of piano tuning, which was tuning strictly by ear without the use of any electronic equipment, and allowing the piano to dictate to me what the best possible tuning was for it. So I guess those three unique skill sets and a constant 32-year affiliation with the Piano Technicians Guild as a registered technician have brought me to what's evolved into my life's work.
Wow, you have a good foundation.
Yeah, and a long road.
Yeah. You brought up the Piano Technicians Guild. Now, yep. I don't know why, but I always, when someone brings up a group of people, I always imagine conventions.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because I remember hearing years ago about how wild the funeral directors' conventions get.
Yes.
And so I'm wondering, what's a Piano Technicians Guild convention like?
It's a large group of eggheads, probably comparable to computer nerds. No, but what's good about the Piano Technicians Guild is it's an international organization, and the exchange of information from technicians who have been doing this for years and years and years. I know when I was first an apprentice technician, I mean, that volume of information that you could share just talking over coffee to senior technicians mm-hmm. was invaluable as far as, you know, progressing as a technician. Huh. Now I find myself in the position that I'm instructing and I'm doing the technicals and I'm trying to pass this on to the younger guys. So it's a unique organization that way, I guess.
Tell me something, Chris. Tell me something weird that happened to you while restoring a piano. Maybe you found something unexpected inside or something.
Well,
like that.
One of the neatest ones is I was working many years ago. There's a lot of stories, but many years ago I was working on an old upright piano. It really wasn't worth fixing, but it was an heirloom piano to the family that I was working on it for. Mm-hmm. And I found an 1895 Deutsche Mark in it or something that was supposedly worth like hundreds and hundreds of dollars, you know. It turned out to be worth way more than the piano was worth.
Really?
So there's always, I don't know, I mean, mice sure take a toll on pianos. For some reason, mice think that pianos are apartments. I don't understand that. But
high-rises, especially.
Yeah, boy, I found some mice nests in pianos that are just astounding. I mean, 5, 6, 7 pounds of dog food inside of a piano. I mean, really moved in and set up shop. You know?
Is there a point after which a piano can't be revived, or can enough money pull off miracles?
Well, grand pianos are made to be taken apart and put back together.
Ah.
Okay. The vertical pianos, the only difference with vertical pianos is, yes, you can restore them, but the actual tuning pin block in a vertical piano is pretty much part of the back post assembly of the instrument, which makes it much more difficult to do and pretty much cost ineffective. The reason I think a lot of people opt to rebuild grand pianos, especially pianos of heirloom quality, you know, the big names, of course, Steinway, Baldwin, all the big ones, is because for less than half of the price of a brand new instrument, you can restore that piano to a completely brand new condition. So I think that makes it a pretty viable option for a lot of people. So.
Yeah, and I suggest that people go to your website and check it out, because there are some before and after photographs that are pretty stunning.
Yes, And I was just going to say, if your audience was interested at all in the 1891 Steinway, I believe the last four pictures under some of our recent work are of that 1891 Steinway.
Interesting stuff. Chris Tursky, thanks for being with us.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Al.
The website is northwestpianoworks.com.
Here's what's on stage in Western Wisconsin theater venues. Roald Dahl's Willy Wonka, a production of the Eau Claire Children's Theater, will play through Sunday at the State Theater in Eau Claire. The Menominee Theater Guild production of Willy Wonka will play through Sunday at the Mabel Painter Center for the Arts in Menominee. The UW-River Falls University Theater will present Vinegar Tom tonight through Saturday in the Kleinpel Fine Arts Building at the university. The Old Gem Young Performers Ensemble will present Pinkalicious, the musical, Friday through Sunday at the Old Gem Theater in New Richmond. The show will be offered for student audiences weekdays through March the 20th. The UW-Eau Claire Music and Theater Arts Department will present the musical A Man of No Importance through Saturday at the Riverside Theater and the Haas Fine Arts Center at the university. Disney's Mulan Jr., based on the 1998 Disney film Mulan, will be performed by the Phipps Children's Theater through Sunday at the Phipps Center for the Arts in Hudson. Elvis, The Essence of the King, featuring George Thomas, plays through Sunday at the Fannie Hill Dinner Theater in Eau Claire. And the Chippewa Valley Theater Guild will hold auditions for Fiddler on the Roof at 7 p.m. Monday and Tuesday at the Grand Theater in Eau Claire. And that's some of what's happening in live theater around the region. For Spectrum West, I'm Jim Oliver.
Spectrum Memo, you can get your tickets now for the return of comedian Tim Harmston to the Mabel Tainter in Menominee. He's there next Saturday evening, March 8th. Hometown funny guy comes hometown. Info at MabelTainter.org and by phone at 235-0001. At the Ellie Phillips Memorial Public Library in Eau Claire, a book club for children beginning to read easy chapter books. It's called My First Book Club. Meets once a month, Saturday afternoons, 1:30. Remaining dates, March 15th and April 12th. Registrations required, accomplished by stopping in, calling, or emailing the library. Hey, Fannie Hill Dinner Theater, thanks for the memories. Coming up on next week's Spectrum West, some poetry, some literature, some art, some laughs, and even some more. I'm Al Ross. Thanks so much for being with us this week and every week. Thanks for being there for us during our membership drives. Have a good Friday. Have a good weekend for you Friday evening listeners. The good weekend applies. See you next week.